None of this made sense to me at the moment. I had no idea what Jim had seen or experienced. I was still wondering how much of him was there. I was just feeling thankful and knew I was seeing the power of God and that he had answered our prayers. Jim seemed bewildered and was frantically looking around to get his bearings. He began to spill out what he had seen in heaven. The wonderful medical crew was trying to keep Jim calm and quiet, but he was excited and insistent to tell all that happened. He had at least one collapsed lung and was filled with pneumonia. He was not going anywhere soon. Meanwhile, my daughter, who is friends with Pastor Luke Weaver's daughters, had asked if they would stop by and pray for Jim. They were in town and only a few minutes from the hospital where Jim was. They were not totally aware of what had happened but were allowed to come in for a few minutes to pray for Jim. Jim does not clearly remember their visit. Little did any of us realize that God had a plan for Jim. Jim was in the hospital for weeks on antibiotics and coughing up a tar-like substance from the pneumonia and collapsed lung. I helped him in the hospital as he was very sick. He had to move with a walker. Eventually Jim was discharged and came home. That was the beginning of another kind of season, a season of finding purpose in all that had happened to Jim and all he had seen and heard in heaven. Jim was once again very weak and in recovery. His business activity was mostly gone and things began to collapse around us financially. In the meantime, a friend drove up to our house, asking about Jim. "Lorraine, what are you going to do?" I must admit that at that moment I did not know what we were going to do, but I knew that God was trustworthy and that he had a purpose for all that had happened. My constant encouragement to Jim was, "You were brought back for a purpose. How well would Jim be?" We had to wait to see how he would recover. God had a purpose for Jim's experience and return, and he would put people where they needed to be to help with the mission he was assigned. Jim was making a surprisingly good physical recovery, yet he was in confusion and depression saying, "Everything is gray here. I don't want to be here. You don't know what I've seen. What am I going to do? How do I tell people what I've seen?" I just kept saying, "There is a reason you are back." Jim's only experience of public speaking had been in a few secular gatherings of entrepreneurs. The Lord was gracious in the way he met our needs and expenses. I was able to pick up extra shifts, and we were able to sell off things that we no longer needed, like boats and cars. Yet Jim was still depressed. I called home often from work to make sure he was okay. But Jim was in a place of transformation and readjustment to his earthly life. He would say things like, "If you could have seen what I saw, heard the flowers singing, seen colors beyond the earth, it is hard to live in this gray place." I came home many a day to find Jim sitting head in hands, despondent and depressed, not wanting anyone around. I would remind him that God sent him back to spread the word of what he had seen. He would respond, "I don't know anything about the Bible. I'm not a holy man or preacher." Jim thought that he would be ridiculed or, worse, that he would be seen as prospering off his experience with Jesus in heaven. My reply was always that God had a purpose for Jim's experience and return and that he would put people where they needed to be to help with the mission he was assigned. "He will show us," I said. My prayers began to shift toward the mission. "Lord, help Jim to respond to your words and fill him with the Holy Spirit." Prayers now shifted. "Respond, fill with the Spirit." He stepped outside of himself and felt as though someone else was speaking through him. Soon, a couple of my co-workers began to ask Jim to come and speak of his experience. He would not go. Then, Jim was asked to speak at Pastor Luke's church. Again, he was reluctant, but he went and something momentous happened in that safe environment. The dam burst and Jim began to share freely. It was as though Jim felt safe enough to get out of the way and let God speak through him. He said he stepped outside of himself and felt as though someone else was speaking through him. Jim was remembering the glories of heaven and little by little, memories and tears erupted with newfound emotion. He had begun to fulfill the command Jesus had given to him, "James, my son, go and tell your brothers and sisters of the wonders we have shown you." He had found new purpose in his life. From the very beginning of this journey, God answered our prayers even before we joined hands in our kitchen. I recognize that my prayer to break and remake Jim began in the heart of God. The fact that my sisters were called to prayer in the middle of the night was evidence of God's plan. Again, if my workplace have not called, I would not have been awakened and noticed that Jim was not home that night he spent in the truck. God was working through it all. God has a plan, and now we work together to pursue Him and His plan. I ask myself the same question Jim asks himself: Lord, who am I? All of this has had an amazing effect on Jim. He is becoming much gentler, more caring, patient, empathetic, kind, and tender toward me and other people. Not to mention that Jim has become a good cook. We joke that instead of becoming a vegetable, he now cooks them. This experience has changed both of us. As a long-term care RN, I have served many who are in life's final hours and in transition toward eternity. I now find myself praying for them with even more compassion and bringing them peace. God is truly good. He has a plan. We can now see the hand of God in things such as Jim seeing our prayers for him as contrails in heaven while we were standing in the prayer circle in our kitchen. God has a plan, and now we work together to pursue Him and His plan. End of extracts.